Dig it, dig it. Dig it, oh yeah. Did you know Dougie Fresh was actually co-writer on that? No. Dougie Fresh was in the studio to help compose that song. Deadass. A lot of people don't know that.
My friends are going to be so jealous, and I'm so excited.
Hi, I am Jasmine Cephas Jones.
Hey, I'm Bill Posley.
Hello, I am Dwayne Perkins.
Hi, I'm Cleo Thomas, aka Mr. Slick Living, and you are listening to the Call and Response Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Call and Response with Felicia Fitzpatrick. And I've been thinking a lot lately about how these days I love to spend time by myself. I remember as a kid, if I ever saw someone by themselves at the restaurant or at an event, I was like, wow, they must be so lonely. But now as an adult, I get it. I love spending time by myself. I love being alone, whether it's reading or journaling, you know, at a coffee shop, walking around the city, or seeing a show or at the ballet. Now, of course, don't get me wrong. I love going to shows with my friends, but there's something really intimate and personal about going to a show by yourself, which is why I was so excited, of course, that Gold Star recommended New York City Ballet's Swan Lake in February, and I'll probably go check it out by myself. But as y'all know, that is just the beginning with Gold Star. They have affordable tickets to theater, concerts, comedy shows, and so much more. So download Gold Star and let's make some memories, y'all. And I know, like, every week I talk about how I'm so hype, I'm so excited, I'm so thrilled, and then I comment on how I say that every week, and then I comment on how, like, but it's still so cool because everyone's so great. We're at another level this week. We are at another level, y'all, because I think it's cosmic that we're here. It was unplanned. This happened in 24 hours. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I am sitting with Cleo Thomas, who is an actor entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Y'all may know him from, I don't know, Holes, Dig It, Roll Bounce. That's just two small credits on your huge resume. You have mixtapes, you have EPs, you're doing TV shows, you have an entrepreneur side of you, gaming, tech, and a pop at Instagram, might I add.
Thank you.
And one question, like, maybe we just have to kick off with it.
Hit me.
On your Instagram, I saw a video. And you were like, y'all, let's talk about it. Let's debate Hercules or Mulan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to ask you.
Yeah, man.
Which one do you prefer?
Mulan.
Oh, yeah?
I prefer the Mulan soundtrack.
Whoo, I think it might be Hercules.
Why? Megara's song, trash. The only thing good about it is the muses. That's it. That's the only good thing about that soundtrack. But if we go song for song, Mulan's killing it. Overall, Reflections by Christina Aguilera. Come on.
I mean, it's not bad. I'm not dissing Mulan.
Okay.
I love Mulan, but like, yeah, the muses, Zero to Hero, Toe Tap, and you gotta get up and dance.
Hero.
Yeah.
Did you know, fun fact, that was originally supposed to be the Spice Girls?
No.
The muses were originally supposed to be the Spice Girls, so that makes me extra not like them.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair, because that would have been other level.
Okay.
That would have changed the game.
Agreed.
Okay, I might have to reconsider.
Come on over to the Mulan side.
See, I was going to say, come, I was like, I'm ready with my argument, but that's just like, that changes things. All right, but no, yeah, so y'all have to get over to his Instagram too, because it's like, things are happening.
Always.
But hello, hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm really excited to chat with you today.
Thank you for having me.
You're having a whirlwind New York trip right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I have known you, obviously, as a film actor, but as you said earlier, you have quite the history with theater. Stage work.
Yeah, man.
How did you get into performing arts when you were a kid?
I told my mom at a very young age I wanted to be an actor. We were living in Germany at the time, and I was watching TV, and I understood for some reason that that was storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
I understood that I was watching a film or television shows that weren't real, but these were people creating stories.
Yeah.
So I told my mom about it. She thought I was crazy. We ended up back in the States, and then she asked me, "Did you still want to pursue it?" And I said yes.
So what was your first Broadway show?
First Broadway show that I watched was The Lion King.
A classic.
Yes, incredible. Grew up loving the animated version. Of course, you gotta love Mufasa and Simba and Scar. Scar's my all-time favorite Disney villain.
Okay.
I think he's the best one. I don't think there's ever going to be anyone to top him.
Yeah, that's fair.
I had the opportunity to audition.
I'm sorry, what?
I had the opportunity to audition for Young Simba the next year for the Broadway version.
You would have been perfect.
I thought so. I thought it was all right. I thought so. I actually put up the tape, my audition tape. I posted on Instagram about 2 months ago.
Oh my gosh. Everyone, we are going to go look right after this because that's amazing.
We did the whole scene with me talking to Zazu. And you know what was crazy? Even seeing everyone's reactions, like, you sound just like him. Because the thing for me was, the only thing I had to go off was the animated version.
Mm-hmm.
So I copied all of the inflections in Simba's voice
to
make it sound just like it. It was dope. The delivery of the lines was dope. I think my one issue was the fact I couldn't sing. I didn't have a strong enough voice.
Oh, man.
That had to be the issue.
You think?
Because I get it. I know why.
Right.
I saw it. I was like, yeah, I don't have it.
What, you posted it?
I didn't post that part. Oh, I didn't post the singing because I was that bad.
Posted the acting.
Yeah, I posted the acting. But even looking back at me doing the singing, I'm like, yo, why didn't... I wish someone around me would have told me, stop straining.
Uh-huh.
I was pushing everything out of me trying to get the song.
Right.
Couldn't get it. Big shout out to Jason Weaver, the actor who actually did sing.
Killed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
What about when you saw the show, like, struck you? Was it just because you knew the movie so well, or you were like, I could do that?
It was definitely young Simba, young Nala.
Yeah.
I ended up knowing an actress who played young Nala years later, Tristan Mays. She played young Nala in the Broadway version. And then I believe Trevor Jackson comes from it too, doesn't he?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Trevor Jackson played Simba in the Broadway version as well. So it's just something. Who wouldn't want to be a young Simba?
That's so
Lion
fair.
Lion King was the best.
I felt the same way about Nala.
Yeah.
I was like, I could do that. No. But maybe you could be an adult Simba on Broadway.
I got to put some weight on to be adult Simba.
Fair. Well, we can make it happen. I'm just like ready for you to come back to the stage. So I'm going to push every narrative I can. Lion King, whatever. Like, we'll make it work.
Jafar.
That's so wild.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
And so then thinking back to you wanting to get involved when you were young, what were your first experiences with, like, performing yourself on stage?
School plays, nothing crazy. But then I had the opportunity to do two major ones that kind of tested how I would act on a stage.
Right.
First one was A Time to Kill,
mm-hmm.
which was a Humphrey Bogart story.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one was this stage play called The Call for Peace, Let the Killing Cease. It was about violence in South Central California.
Yeah.
And I had a very interesting part. You know, I was 7 years old with a gun in my hand, and like it really had to get shot off on that stage. And, you know, I had to do a rap, and then I had to have this argument with a gangster who was, you know, 27 at the time. And I had to make that believable.
Yeah.
And the crowd reacted every single night.
Wow.
And it was an incredible feeling to have. So theater is a totally different experience.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that's almost unmatched.
Yeah.
I'm a big wrestling fan, and I look at that as theater.
Yeah.
That's a crowd. That's a performance. You're a character.
Totally.
It's Shakespeare to me.
I do not know anything about wrestling, but one of my friends loves it and was explaining it the exact same way of, like, there's narratives, there's, like, conflict, you know, there's relationships, there's truth. And I was like, I've missed all of that, but okay, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting that even you talking about it now, like, that clearly had an impact on you mm-hmm. at 7 years old.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Was that the moment that you were like, I want to do this professionally? Or was it when you were in Germany? Or when was it?
I didn't know what I even meant by telling my mom I wanted to do that.
Wow.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't come from a acting family. There was no one giving us advice even when things became, you know, what they became as far as my career goes. We just had to run for it.
Yeah.
But I knew I fell in love with performing at that point.
Yeah.
I knew I loved something about a character and bringing him to life and making it believable.
Yeah.
To the point where you're questioning, you know, is this, you know, are the lights just on, or like, what's really happening here?
Right.
You know, so
finding that truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was your first professional job then?
First professional job, maybe I think it was a commercial,
mm-hmm.
you know, commercials. And then, you know, you go on to do TV shows, a couple guest spots on Family Law, which was a big CBS show at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, before Holes, there was Friday After Next.
Yes.
Which was, you know, a little badass kid.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
You know, that was just me. That was just me.
Yes.
You know, but with Holes, that kind of was the testing moment mm-hmm. because so much had to be expression, mm-hmm. but no words.
Yeah.
I couldn't vocalize my
That's
feelings.
That's true, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so I had to you know, sit there for a second. And a big thing about, I think, is my family did a great job of not trying to control any of it.
Okay.
My mom was not a stager. She was never in the way. Yeah. People questioned if my mother was even on set.
Really?
They didn't see her. My mother was like,
let him do his thing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant a lot to me looking back that I had mm-hmm. to, she gave, the script came in and I had to read it and I was like, yo, it just says zero expresses this, zero expresses that.
Wow.
And I'm like, but I'm not talking. So mm-hmm. I didn't know. And then it came time and I'm just like, okay, how would I express anger, frustration, sadness, confusion?
Mm-hmm.
And it came to be.
Yeah.
Heck of a performance for, yeah, man.
Like an iconic performance.
Thank
though.
You.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
like,
thank you.
I feel like that movie has been, especially for like people my age, our age, like it's one of those defining movies.
I feel so.
You know?
It has one of those cult followings. It's not a typical Disney film.
Yeah.
It's not a typical Disney film.
No, it's not.
There's
it's not.
Racism that's shown.
It gets real.
My man gets shot.
Yes.
They killed the donkey. Like, yes. These are some real moments.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I remember, like, as a kid watching it and be like, whoa. But then watching it again as an adult, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, man.
You
there
know
is
what I'm
some
saying?
Parts. Yeah.
So, how, in terms of, like, putting together the film, like, I know there's, like, table reads and stuff, but did you get to interact with Patricia Arquette?
Mm. It's John Voight.
John Voight.
Patricia Arquette, Tim Blake Nelson, Sigourney Weaver. Incredible cast, right? Those mm-hmm. are some all-star names there alone. I got to do a screen test with Shia.
Okay.
I'll never forget seeing the list of how many actors they brought in for the screen test. I'll never forget it. Because every other character's list, mad short. Squid, Zigzag, maybe
really?
Four or five actors.
Wow.
Zero's list was ridiculously long.
Wow.
To the point I recognized the names. I'm seeing Taj Mahri. I'm seeing Bow Wow. I'm seeing Little Romeo. I'm like, I'll never forget it.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
so,
of course.
And everyone else got to do three or four things. I got to do one scene that day, and it was just the one with me and Shia interacting over him, teaching me how to read and write.
Yeah.
And the director, Andy Davis, came to us both and said, scrap the script. Let's just see what you guys feel.
Wow.
And we just went for it.
Dang.
Yeah, so that's the only thing that we got to do that day.
That's insane.
It really is.
But, man, like, seeing that list, did you, like, were you intimidated or you're like, you know what?
Oh, I was shook because I knew the names. Like, I know these
right,
guys.
Right, right, right.
Crazy part, I just ran into Tim Blake Nelson,
mm-hmm.
the actor who I hit with the shovel.
Uh-huh.
At the premiere of Angel Has Fallen. He's in that film.
Oh.
He hadn't seen me in years, so great interaction with him. I'm at the Maleficent premiere, and I run into John Voight, who played Mr. Sir,
yes.
Angelina Jolie's father.
Yes.
We have an embrace. I'm like, am I just going to go on a whole all-star like reunion list all of a sudden? I need to see Sigourney next.
Oh,
got to
goodness.
See Shia again. I got to see all the rest of the D10 boys. It's been fun.
I was going to say, do y'all keep in touch? Like, is there a group text?
Between me and Magnet.
Oh, my Magnet gosh.
Magnet is from Los Angeles. So is Armpit.
Yeah.
Actor Byron Cotton. He's from L.A. Those two I keep in contact with a lot.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
How long, like, was the actual filming? How long were y'all in the desert is what I want to know.
2 months.
Shit.
Yeah. 2 months in the desert, 1 month at the Disney Ranch to film all the stuff in the camp.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That, I was hot just watching it. I was like, nah.
Oh, it sucked.
Yeah.
I told a story. I got a heat rash. I'll never forget it.
Did you?
I got a heat rash. Didn't know what was wrong. My mom goes and asks for some lotion. It had alcohol in it. So I'm burning. This story's on my YouTube channel.
Oh, my gosh.
You can go check it out.
Y'all go check out the YouTube.
My mom just starts dousing me with water because it just started burning. And I'm jumping up and down the trailer like, what is going on? She takes a picture. I put the picture up there. I'm in tears, like angry.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
man.
What an experience.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What I love that you said Bow Wow was on the short list for Zero because y'all got to work together in Roll Bounce.
Yeah.
Which is another favorite movie of mine. Like, I want that to become a musical. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Can you imagine?
Yeah, with the roller skates. If I had money, I would produce it.
We might have to discuss that.
Producers get on it. Yeah, for real.
We might have to discuss doing that. I never thought about that as a musical.
Yeah. I think it'd be great. Great songs, amazing choreography. It could be, like, immersive.
Mm-hmm.
I got thoughts. But, but I think I love that movie because I loved seeing teenagers during that time.
Gotcha.
Do you know what I'm saying?
The simplicity of life at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That age and that era was really interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the music's really great. But how was, like, did y'all have to roller skate in your auditions for that?
Yeah, true story.
You?
So when I tell you the entire young Black Hollywood came in for Roll Bounce, I mean everybody.
Talk about that list.
Freaking everybody. Right. Everybody. It was ridiculous. Like, I couldn't believe how many people were in there.
Yeah.
So they tried to mix and match during the auditions, and then we ended up saying, all right, company move all the way to World on Wheels the same day. So they brought everyone to the roller skating rink to see who could really skate.
Wow.
And yeah.
Did you have experience?
Heck yeah. Okay, I grew up skating. And then the only actor, hope he's not going to be mad at me for saying it, Rick Gonzalez, the actor who plays Naps, size 17, B-Nard, him, never skated in his life.
Ooh.
So rehearsals were a pain. And if you look at the lineup, I'm always, it's me and him back to back.
Uh-huh.
So we would have to do the move where we would all spin around and holding on to each other. He would drag me down every time.
No, you're like, you need to get it together.
Yo, you gotta get it together, brother. So we did a month of rehearsals, and you know, by the end of it, we were all pretty confident in our skills.
Yeah. So had you already started a transition into music by that time, or did that kind of like spark the move?
Music for me actually happened with Holes.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, because The Diggest song was actually written by all of us.
I don't know if I realized that.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite songs maybe of my entire life.
It's a heck of a song. It's a catchy song.
It is. It's a catchy such a bop.
Song. Man, I wish. Man, it's crazy to think what Radio Disney was then and what it is now. Mm-hmm. Like, Radio Disney now is actually a charting thing. It's on Billboard and everything. I'm like, where was that food? Like, can we run that back? Can we repackage
exactly.
that and bring it back out?
Yes.
So yeah, music for me started then, and I'd always loved music. I started recording my own stuff right after the film. I did a tour alone, and then we do Roll Bounce, and Bao finds out I love music, and we had become such great friends at that point that he was like, yo, why don't you just come on tour with me? So Scream Tour, 32 cities across the nation. I'm not opening for him. I'm with him.
That's like, amazing.
I'm the headlining act with him, and I'm seeing this arena sold out. What an incredible thing. It's just like theater.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's that stage. It's something about it. It's addicting. If you could bottle it, you'd be a billionaire. If you could bottle that feeling, you'd be
right.
a billionaire.
It's like the energy from the audience, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
How old were you when that tour, with that happened?
About 15, 16.
Dang. You just like dove right in, though.
Yeah.
Dove right in. What, yeah, I don't know about a lesson you learned from that, but like, how did that experience shape you moving forward and creating your own music?
Man, it taught me how much work goes into one song even having success.
Okay.
It gave me a level of respect for Bao that I don't think the world still gives him till today.
Hmm.
You know, he was one of the very first rappers to sell out Madison Square Garden. Rappers.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I'm just now hitting me. Like, I've actually been at Madison Square Garden in a sold-out arena. And he did that before Scream Tour 4. He did that Scream Tour 1 and 2.
Wow.
He was one of the very first. True story, Jay-Z was backstage at our Scream Tour 4 performance. And they were trying to work out for him to come out on stage, but Jay wasn't touching it unless he got that wire transfer. So he never touched the stage.
Wow.
But he was there backstage. I met Jay that night. Yeah, man.
How was that experience of meeting Jay?
It was crazy because it's Jay-Z.
Yeah.
But he, you know, it's Jay.
Well, I was going to ask that too. Like, when it came to acting, but like, who were some of those inspirations and those influences that you were looking up to as you were entering the world yourself?
See, it's not, I don't think many people could guess it because I grew up with such, I watched everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that Beetlejuice is one of my favorite films.
Yeah.
It's weird to people, but I'm like, Michael Keaton's performance is amazing in that film.
Have you seen the Broadway musical?
No, but like, I passed by I saw that it's here. I'm like, yo, I want to see this.
We got to get you to it.
I want to see Beetlejuice so on good. Broadway.
And I hear that, like, I'll admit I have not seen the whole movie of Beetlejuice all the way through because I was scared as a kid.
Got it.
But the musical, even for people who love the movie, say it's like, it's still in that world. You just like feel it and it's got the sensibility. So I feel like you would love it.
I'm going to love it. I'm pretty sure I'd love it.
Yes.
Michael Keaton was one of my favorite actors. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of a cop out to say Wesley Snipes, but I think Wesley has a lot of different roles and he's played a lot of different characters that prove his chops. He's an incredible actor.
And, like, versatile.
Yes, you know. Of course, we have Blade, but, like, there's a lot of other stuff. Of course, he's the action guy. Mm-hmm. But then what was the film that he did with Patrick Swayze, I believe?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Tu Wong Fu and...
Yes, with John Leguizamo.
Yes.
Yeah, Tu Wong Fu. Yeah, that's it.
Like, that's a stretch for what would be typically asked for a black man at that time.
Right.
He did it.
Right.
And in my opinion, put it on a hell of a performance.
And he did it well, yeah. Right? Yeah. So when it came to creating your own work,
mm-hmm.
like how did were you thinking of? I mean, I guess these were actors, but like, were you thinking of these influences, or were you just like, you know what, I want to put my truth to paper, so to speak, yeah. and say what I have to say.
Truth to paper.
Yeah.
Truth to paper. I think we're all storytellers in some way.
Yeah.
And I think that I've had a very interesting journey in life already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just turned 30 this year.
Congrats.
I've done a lot. Thank you. I've done a lot in my, you know, in my time so far here on earth. And yeah, man, I'm still fighting and still, you know, searching for the next goal to succeed in. I've done a lot. So, you know, I look back at the opportunity to do a film like Holes and have mm-hmm. it be along that side. And I didn't expect my character to have that much of an impact. Reading the script, I didn't expect that.
Right.
You know, to go on to do Walking Tall with The Rock. And this is mm-hmm. Rock in one of his very first two or three films.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood hadn't even given him that moment yet.
Yeah.
You know, to do that, to go on to do a film like Badass, which is the story of Melvin Van Peebles
mm-hmm.
and his journey to create the first black independent film during the exploitation era.
Mm-hmm.
Mario played his father, Melvin, and I played Mario. That's an incredible story that I feel like anyone who wants to do anything in the film industry should watch that movie,
because
it tells you why we even have the foundation as black creators.
Right.
He was one of the very first. Have fun.
Yeah. I feel like in a conversation we have a lot with like the Broadway folks that I talk to is like, you know, going into the audition room and having assumptions thrown on them like, oh, sound more black, sound more urban. Do you feel, have you experienced that in the film TV world as well?
I think because of my looks alone, I think that I don't fit the norm of what African American is to on when they put it on the call sheet or the breakdown for the character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I walk into an audition room and I look around, it's African American men here. Skin complexion and facial features alone, I do not look like a typical African American man. But I do not you know, shy away from going in and giving my best shot at it.
Yeah.
And see what happens. You know, I don't think we all have the same story, but at the same time I think we all relate to the same things.
Right.
So as far as me auditioning against, you know, plan A to the right or plan B to the left, got to go in there and get shoot for it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I feel like you can all find a truth or universality in a character.
Agreed.
Which is how you translate it to the audience. But
doesn't surprise me though, that people like have had that experience, like sound more black or something. I'm like,
yeah.
First of all, how do you know what black sounds like?
Right.
First of all. But,
right.
But it's black to their ears.
It's interesting. We've been talking a lot too. I say we, I mean like the theater community has been talking a lot too about creating, having more black voices like in creating work, you know, like writing plays or writing musicals and stuff, or TV shows for that matter. And I know you have obviously experience in writing music, but I'm like, would you ever want to write for the stage or for the screen?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would.
What kind of stories would you want to tell?
Oh, man. I don't know because I feel like the stage is where you have unlimited free range. I think you can do so much, but it's not, it's weird that it's not looked at like that for some reason.
Yeah.
I think it's very interesting to me. I mean, not to say that Tyler Perry, what he was able to do through stage alone, that's how he began. He was telling these stories and this character and black stories and everything that black people could relate to.
Yeah.
You just opened up the dang Tyler Studios down there in Atlanta. Huge.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah.
It was to bring out those. I mean, come on.
How
are you getting that many people in one place?
It was wild.
Yeah. That was nuts. That was nuts. We've never seen anything like that. But he had a passion for theater. That's where he started. And he was able to, you know, adapt and continue to brand himself so big to the point where it's at where it's at now. And if anything, that should be more inspiration for creatives like ourselves to, hey, don't look at theater as just this. Like, no, it could be so much more. You can tell so many more great stories.
Yeah.
You got unlimited. To me, is you got unlimited free range. Like, I would love to step on stage and really just go for it.
Yes,
go for
I'm
it.
Here for. I support.
For
I support
it,
you coming
Thank
back
you.
To the theater
Thank
when you,
you.
Want,
I
to.
Want to. I do.
Well, and we were talking about your title before we started recording of like actor, entrepreneur. Like, how has it been finding? Or not even finding, but like having your identity evolve in different ways.
It's been the hardest thing in the world to deal with the business and the industry because I've always been multifaceted as a kid. And the problem is they want us, you should be known for this because that's what we know you for.
Like the categories.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. It drives me. It's like some of my best friends, people I do business with, I've had arguments with them over it.
Oh really?
Like legit, like, dang. Because they're telling me the truth. It's like, yo, but you're looked at as this. Mm-hmm. Like, I get that. But I'm not only the actor. I've done hella performances.
Yes.
I've done music. I've toured by myself. I've produced projects already. So that's already actor, artist, producer.
Right.
Okay, let's go into, I love video games. I went to E3 this year. I'm working on my my show called with two of my friends from Adol Def Digital Platform, Patrick Cloud and Will Farrow. We have this thing called Arcade Tokens, and we're bringing more awareness to black gamers.
There you go.
And it's been hella fun.
Yes.
So gamer / producer in that. It's amazing to me. I look at someone like Ryan Seacrest, look at someone like Mario Lopez, and look at someone like Nick Cannon. When they write their names out, they put every single one of those slashes. So why is it because I'm here now, I have to choose one? Yeah. Because y'all give them the slashes when they're up there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take my slashes here now.
Yes. Yeah. You're a multi-hyphenate. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
I got you.
Thank you. Thank you.
But it's real.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's totally fine to have different loves, different passions, different skill sets for that matter. And they can work together.
Agreed.
You know.
They don't like it too, though. Yeah. People don't like it too. It's so weird. It's so weird.
It. I feel like there definitely is like a, oh, we need to categorize people and put them in boxes because it's easier that way instead of having like the gray area. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that'll last. I don't think it can last for long with stuff like social media, you know, and just having the resources to make your own stuff these days.
Agreed.
You know?
Yeah.
I want to hear more about the gaming, though, because I don't know anything about gaming.
Nothing?
Are there? No. I mean, like, I played Super Mario Three Brothers. See, I don't even know the name of it.
Wow.
Crash Bandicoot Warped. Like, cool. That's where I'm at. Like,
that's a good one. They just remastered that.
Did they?
It's back on the Nintendo Switch now. So if you have a Switch, you can play it portably.
See, I had the PlayStation, like the OG one.
Gray. Yeah.
So that's where I was at. But me and my friend were great at it, Rachel. Nice. We were like, nailed it. But but anyway, so is there, in terms of the gaming world, like, is there the same kind of problems we're seeing other places of, like, not a lot of representation of people of color?
Yeah, it definitely has that effect still, even that work, because it's another level of media. It's another level of storytelling.
Interesting.
There's many actors and screenwriters and directors who are now choosing to tell their stories instead of on film in video games.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm sleeping. I don't know.
I mean, I was in NBA 2K19.
Uh-huh.
I got a chance to play Kai Donaldson, which was the Nike representative.
Mm-hmm.
So when you had your creative player and you wanted to go sign with Nike, you had to come talk to me. That was really cool.
Oh, wow.
That was really dope.
Yeah.
But that was a full storyline written out. I believe the one before that, Spike Lee was executive producing and directed that storyline.
Whoa.
In 2K18. So that was really cool.
Okay. I had no idea. Great. You're blowing my mind. I love it.
Yeah, man. So there's this guy who's actually making, you remember Def Jam Fight for New York, right? Remember the Def Jam Vendetta games? Where it was all the rappers who were like fighting?
No.
Okay. Well, that was a great video game.
Okay.
But that was one of the first fighters that had nothing but black people because they were all rappers.
I see.
There's a guy out in LA who's making his first actual fighter made up characters, all black characters.
Wow.
Yeah, so he got that funded very recently, so we'll see what happens with it. It's called Black Salt, so look, be on the lookout for that.
Okay. Yeah. I just had no idea about the gaming world like that.
It's a thing. Before I came here, I was at the Nintendo store down the block.
Oh yeah.
I had to go check it out.
But so is it like, I guess the gaming industry is kind of evolving in this way of like it's becoming a new medium.
It's a $1 billion business.
Okay, y'all. I'll see you later, Broadway.
Billions of dollars.
I didn't know.
Yes. Yeah, man.
Wow.
Yeah, it's that major. I think the Man of Medan, which is a EA game or Bandai, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy budget to shoot all that stuff. Crazy budget.
So how do you see all of your multi-hyphenates, like how do they inform each other for you?
How do they inform each other?
Yeah.
I'm just always curious. I'm always curious about what's going on in the things that I care for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it came to acting, I was always a heads up of, you know, Joker just came out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when it was announced that it was Joaquin, I was like, sold. I didn't second guess it. I just knew. Hmm. Like, I know exactly what story that they're going to tell. I'm a big comic book guy.
Yeah, okay.
I know every character's origin story. I know everything like that. But when they casted him, I was like, we're not getting a comic book movie. We're going to get a story about a guy who's gone through hell and back.
Yeah.
And said, you know what? I got plan A or plan B. Yeah, I'm choosing plan A.
Wow.
And I knew that from the jump. And then music, always had a great passion for. Grew up listening to all types of different levels of music, genres. Video games, grew up playing. And, you know, I love hosting stuff. Created a video. I was a part of this this app called Trivia Mob. I love trivia as well.
Okay. You are multifaceted. Yeah.
Trivia Mob, which was a game show that was an app. Mm-hmm. So people got to tune in every single Sunday. I would ask them questions and they'd win money.
There you go.
So we took the game show from the television screen and put it in everyone's hands.
Right.
Yeah.
Making it more accessible in that way.
There you go.
Everybody's on their phones.
Yeah. Do you think plays will ever make it to that level where they're just accessible on phones? I think it takes away from the experience.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that I hope it never does.
I think in a version, like there might be a version of that, but I don't think actually experiencing a show will ever be on your phone. But they have, like, you know, they've created Broadway HD, so it's like you can stream plays, like they film plays and then they put it on Broadway HD like after the show is closed, you know what I'm saying? So it's still like archived and documented in that way. Or live streaming bits and pieces of performances. But no, I think it's just, it would evolve into a different entity. You know what I'm saying?
I hope it never does.
There's something special.
I hope it
special.
Stays that traditionally.
Like, yeah.
Nah, stage.
There's just something about sitting in a theater or, you know, space and experiencing something live together that I don't think can be replicated.
Facts.
Like that, you know?
Feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then tell us about Slick Living.
Slick Living was the original name of my third mixtape. And then it became its own entity. People started just saying I'm Slick Living, and next thing I knew, I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna make a shirt. Then I made a shirt, and then it sold out in a day. And then I slowly but surely started recognizing that I was living very differently from everyone else. Anyway, I was thinking very differently from my peers. I was always having this thought process of what's next. How do I better myself? How do I work harder? What flaw do I have now that I do not want to have in the next year?
The curiosity, like you were saying.
Constantly trying to evolve and adapt. And that kind of became the overall message for Slick Living. And that's what it's been. It's evolved into the werewolves, people who are out there on the hunt every single day, going after what they believe in, not taking no for an answer. From that, we've also evolved into GLAM, which stands for God is Living Amongst Men. It's a women empowerment brand that was inspired by my little sister and my mother.
Wow.
My little sister is 15 years younger than me.
Okay.
And I had this idea for GLAM 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until I had a conversation with her at 15 about the world and how she sees things way differently than me.
Yeah.
Things that have been blind to my eyes just because I'm a man living in the world.
Sure.
She was able to bring to me, and we had a really long discussion about it. We still talk about a lot of the stuff till today. So GLAM came to be finally due to having a conversation with her, and, you know, I've helped make her the creative director behind GLAM.
Wow.
Everyone loves it. People love the designs, the messaging, and it's just overall just trying to help other women empower each other.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy to help build a platform.
I love that.
To, you know, I'm not trying to be the face of women and nothing like that.
No,
I just want to help bring the energy to the world.
Yes. Yeah. Give them a platform, amplify the message.
Bingo.
I love that.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. That's very, very cool.
Yeah.
You're dope.
Thank you.
I'm so glad we got to hang out today.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
I feel like we got a slice. So next time you're in New York, we have to hang again.
Yeah,
and talk more. But the final two questions I like to wrap up the podcast with.
Hit me with them.
If you could recommend a piece of black art, whether that's a film, a book, a musical album, what would you recommend our listeners take in?
I'd have to say Badass.
Badass.
I'm telling you, people have to watch that film.
Okay.
I was in Utah about a week ago, and the producer who flew me out there to take care of something said that's his favorite film.
Really?
And he's a way older gentleman than me. He's 45, 46, he's way up there. And he was telling me how that film made him understand what he wanted to do.
Really?
It's I think everyone, if you want to tell stories, you should see what we had to go through then to even do it.
Yeah.
With the access that we have now to technology, we don't have to go through what that man had to go through to create this film. He just had to get off his mind.
Right.
You know, I'm part of this series called UALA.
Mm-hmm.
It is a live action adaptation of this anime called My Hero Academia.
Mm.
And it went viral. People love it. And the director, black man. A stunt director. So that means every stunt you've ever seen, as far as in the Han Solo films or Kingsman or Wonder Woman, it was him behind the camera.
Whoa.
He's the one that was capturing all of the stunts because he just knows how to make it look that good.
Yeah.
And talking to him about Badass, he was like, no, that's one of my favorite films because it showed me why I'm even here doing this today.
Wow.
Badass.
Carrying on that legacy, standing on the shoulders.
The original movie was called Sweetback's Badass Song.
Okay.
For the people who, Melvin Van Peebles, that was his film, Sweetback's Badass Song. The original title of Badass was How to Get the Man's Foot Out of Your Ass. That was actually the real name of the title.
Really?
Of the Badass film.
Oh, okay.
That was taken away. And that was just Badass with like six S's.
Wow. Yeah. Very cool. I need to go look at that.
Yeah.
And then the final question, if you could give a shout out to a fellow black artist, who would it be?
Shout out to a fellow black artist. Mm-hmm. You know what? Not to jump back on the gaming thing, but I threw an event about 2 weeks ago in L.A. for a video game called Super Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And in L.A., you run into everybody all the time. We all see each other, and we all always say the same stuff.
Yeah.
We got to hang out. We got to do this. We got to do
that. Right.
I had to get on Instagram, and I had to verbally call each and every one of them out. Because I got tired of everyone talking.
Yeah.
When they see me, they all want my beat. I say, okay, all
right,
cool.
Right.
So about 35 people show up.
Mm-hmm.
We did it at the Thunder Gaming Studio. Each one of these 35 people are black creatives.
Wow.
In L.A.
Uh-huh.
To do that, to make the drive from L.A. or North Hollywood to Long Beach. Just for this thing. Because we're all friends, but we're going to show competitiveness. They all came. And I have to give a shout out to each and every one of them because they're living in Los Angeles, living their dream, creating, telling stories. Guys like King Vader, guys like Pierre Steps, guys like Reggie Coos, who's an incredible artist, but because of Instagram and Vine and these skits, they only look at him as this. And
it's
I get it. I know it's frustrating, brother, but please keep going. Mm-hmm. Every single person that came there that day is someone that I respect their creativity. That was really important to me to see because growing up in Los Angeles, being in the business as long as I have, you see the fake stuff.
Yeah.
You know what it is. But that meant a lot to have everyone there. And then anyone else out there in the world that's separate from the 30 people I just named or talked about in the gaming thing, you want to tell a story.
Yeah.
Tell it.
Yeah.
Tell it.
Well, I know I said that was the last question, but how do you learn to weed out the fake people?
You realize that everyone already has a mask on anyway. So why not put yours on too?
Social performance. Yeah.
Why not?
Do you feel like you have a support system? It sounds like it might be your family of people that are like your truth tellers.
Family. Mm-hmm. Family. I'm the oldest of my siblings. Parents been together since high school.
Wow.
I'm lucky. I'm lucky to be one of the kids in the business who had something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That showed me what true love was and what a foundation it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, I know that sounds crazy. I know me even saying, like, put the mask on. What I really mean by that, for the people who understand, you know, from black culture, put the ski mask on.
Mm.
Put it on. Because everyone else already has it on around you. Take everything with it. Yeah, yeah, it's this. Yeah, yeah, it's all good, brother. That. Yep, it is. But that mask is on, too.
Wow.
And I'll always be plotting two steps ahead.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's real, though.
And I hope people don't take that as a negative. Take it as a positive. What I'm saying, it's just real.
Yeah.
And it does, being honest, it's a conundrum because it doesn't pay to be the realest man in the room. It never has.
That's realistic. It's realistic.
Yeah.
To have that filter.
Yes.
Y'all.
Yeah, man.
We got real today.
Yeah, man. I got to come back. I want to do this again.
I'm saying, you can become bi-coastal. Be back and forth, LA, New York.
Yeah.
New York, LA.
Where do I live, though? What's...
I live in Harlem.
Okay.
That's
the trick, the train here?
Yeah, the train's like 20 minutes from my house to here.
Oh. I'm from LA. We don't do trains.
I mean, you could take a car if you wanted.
Okay, cool.
But the artist life is like you take the subway, you know.
Oh my god. See that side I gotta figure out. That whole like, yo, but it's a part of it. It's the experience, the authenticity.
It New York is much, I feel like, grittier than the West Coast.
Hell yeah.
You know?
It is.
So it's like it is just a part of it. Of yeah. Like you could be sitting, that's the thing about New York. Like if you have someone in like a 3-piece suit who works at like some financial thing sitting next to a homeless person on the train.
Yeah.
You know, like it's you're in it.
Yeah.
But that's, we like it, I guess. That's why we're here.
And New York lives. I'm pretty sure about that.
Yeah.
Pretty sure you guys would be fine.
Yeah.
West Coast, guy, we're done. We're wiped off the face of the planet. We ain't built like that.
No, it's real. But you're always welcome here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah,
this was so much fun.
And y'all, for the listeners, let me be clear about this. Cleo posted on his Instagram like 72 hours ago that he was coming to New York, and somehow we are sitting here right now, and I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah.
If folks want to follow you on social media and shout you out, where can they find you?
At Cleo Thomas, Khleo Thomas. You can look out for RK Tokens as well. Make sure you follow Slick Living. Be on the lookout for UALA. Really excited about that. Be also on the lookout for more upcoming projects, even with Disney.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
We stand Disney out here. I love that.
I can't help it.
I love Disney. Yeah.
I just love all the stories.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Until next time, y'all.
Peace.